Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Live from the Investors Bank Studio, Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti, Boomer and Gio on the Fan simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. Good Wednesday morning. That's exactly what you needed to see and wanted to see from James Paxton last night against the Boston Red Sox. A masterpiece of a game pitched by Paxton. The offense shows up as the Yankees roll against a Boston team that is struggling mightily. Steven Matz melts down in the first inning, one of the worst pitching performances you will ever see in your life. 8 runs scored, no outs recorded. And the New York Islanders sweep away. The Pittsburgh Penguins move on to the second round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. But the most important story of the day resides right here in the studio. Happy birthday, Boomer!
Thank you, Gio. I appreciate it. These are birthdays that you don't like to celebrate or want to think about.
Oh,
so I appreciate that. It's very nice of you to bring it up.
You have to celebrate them, man. You've had an incredible run every year.
Yeah.
You get more handsome. You get more popular.
Yeah, okay.
You're in great
shape. Happy birthday to me. Happy birthday to me. Happy birthday, dear
Boomer Esiason.
Happy birthday to me.
I'm Boomer Esiason.
Okay, children. You know, I am 58 today. So, yes, thank you very much. I appreciate that. And, you know, I'll tell you that last night was amazing for a couple of reasons. Number one, James Paxton had pressure already this early in the season at home versus the Red Sox. And he basically answered the bell. He went out there and did what he was supposed to do. Now, speaking of pressure, nobody's been under more pressure, I believe, than the goalie for the New York Islanders, Robin Lehner. He has been great all year. This has been a monumental find for the Islanders and Lou Lamoriello. And when they signed him, they knew that he had some off-the-ice issues and all that other stuff. But this guy basically played his ass off. They gave up one goal in the last three games in each game. Think about that for a second. In the Stanley Cup playoffs against a team of the magnitude of the Pittsburgh Penguins with who have the best player in the league in Sidney Crosby. And the fact that they were able to do that and the fact that they've been relatively healthy. Now, they lost Boychuk and Clutterbuck last night. I don't know how significant those injuries are. But when you sweep a team in the first round, the good news is you get the rest. And hopefully those guys will be back and they'll be all in against whoever they play, either the Carolina Hurricanes or the Washington Capitals. But, you know, I was telling you earlier that this is basically what this team has turned out to be. Their young guys have shown up, especially on the defensive side of the puck. Their scoring lines, they're scoring. The players who are supposed to score are scoring. And then they have the grinders, you know, the Filippulas, the Komarovs, Martin, Cizikas, and Clutterbuck, and Kunako. And the bottom six guys are doing exactly what they're supposed to do. And the young guys are showing up. And everybody's got each other's back. And they got a lot of great chemistry going on around this team. And, of course, they have maybe one of the best coaches in the league in today's game with Barry Trotz, who's very calm and basically lays it out there for the guys, and the guys respond to him. So it was – you know, I thought they were going to win the series. I didn't think they were going to sweep the series. And I figured that they would end up playing the Capitals next. But you got to be careful because you can't – in the NHL playoffs, man, anything can happen, as we found out with Columbus just absolutely drilling the best team in the league and a team that had one of the best regular seasons in the history of the league. That would be like the Clippers taking out the Warriors.
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of the same thing. Now, the Warriors have won more championships, and they've got that pedigree of finishing the job. But in the NHL, it's totally different. And you see in the postseason, so you know a team like the New York Islanders, they win game one, they come back, they win game two, three, and four. Same thing with the Columbus Blue Jackets. If you look at the NBA playoffs, when the underdog team like the Nets beats the Sixers in game one, well, they come back and end up winning game two. When the San Antonio Spurs win game one, the Nuggets come back and win game two. It's just that happens. It ends up evening out. But in the NHL, you really never know. But the Islanders are now that team of destiny
with it right in front of them, where this could be the storybook run that would beat all storybook runs in the NHL postseason, in my opinion, where you take out the Pittsburgh Penguins, who's probably, you know, the most successful team in the league championship-wise over the last few years, couple of cups in recent memory. Then you've got, hopefully, because I think that's a great series and a great storyline, Barry Trotz, who just coached the Capitals to a Stanley Cup championship last year, ends up leaving, goes to the Islanders. They could face them in the second round of the playoffs. And then, hopefully, the coup de grace, if you will, John Tavares and the Toronto Maple Leafs against the Islanders in an Eastern Conference final with the right to go to the Stanley Cup. That's the team of destiny. There it is. I laid it out for you. And then the Islanders win the cup, and it's at the wedding in the summer out in Southampton, and we're all drinking Johnny Walker Blue out of the cup together.
Okay, okay.
That's what we're doing.
Can I ask you one thing, or can I say one thing in regards to what road you're going down here now that you front running some bitch?
Oh, that's
you are.
Right. I am a bandwagon jumping.
You got
jumping
your Islander jersey on today,
oh,
and all of a sudden, like, I had to tell you when the playoffs started to wear your Islander jersey, and what you said to me. Do you remember what you were wearing that day?
I was wearing the jean jacket.
Right. So I don't know if I could take the jean jacket off. Melissa Etheridge is coming.
I have to look like a rock star.
I said, look, put the freaking jersey on and root for your team and be at least representative of Long Island from where we're both from. But, here's the deal. Don't touch the money, man. Don't touch the money. One shift, one period, one game. That's what it takes. And that's the way that they've gone about their business. And they play defensive hockey first. And then when you get guys like Eberle and Bailey and Nelson and Lee showing up on the score sheet, that just tells you that everything's going right. And the young players from Pelech and Pulak and Barzal and Taves and Mayfield are all playing out of their minds right now. It's great. It's fun to watch. I would say the chemistry build throughout the year, and then them come healthy into the playoffs and then do what they did behind a goalie who basically was on a scrap heap this time last year.
Yeah, I mean, that story is incredible.
It's an amazing story.
And it's we talked a lot about comebacks this week with Tiger Woods. You know, Robin Leonard, not to that degree, but still an incredible comeback story in what he's doing. And if he can continue this and this grows even more, that's going to be something a lot of people will be paying attention to. And they got a nice rest, which is good. I always believe if you're going to make a deep cup run, at some point, you got to have a short series.
So people need to understand, both in the NBA and the NHL, you have to win 16 games in order to win a championship.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, you know, if you're the New York Rangers, those 16 games, you know, sometimes would take you 28 games to get there.
Right.
Meaning 7-game series every which way, and they just take so much out of you. The one thing I will say, you know, the Pittsburgh Penguins and the Washington Capitals and the Tampa Bay Lightning all have played and extended deep runs in the playoffs over the last 4 or 5 years.
Sure.
And that could be coming home to roost now with these other teams that haven't been in the playoffs and have the hunger and have the youthful legs, and also have the stories. You know, the Canes are giving the Capitals everything they can handle. That is probably, I would say right now, watching that series against some of these other series, it may be the most physical series of all the series going on right now in the playoffs. So who knows what the Capitals are going to look like or the Canes are going to look like when they come out of that series. And with the Islanders rested, I think that's a great thing, especially if Boychuk and Clutterbuck can get a couple extra days and get back on the ice.
So congrats to the Islanders as they move on, and congrats to James Paxton and the Yankees for righting the ship for a night. And it's going to take more than a night to get things back on track, but what a great night. This was by far, other than opening day, and I still think it was bigger than opening day because it was against the Red Sox, it was the best day the Yankees have had so far in this early season, hands down. And the Red Sox are a total mess, and you didn't want the Red Sox to get right against you. You wanted to get right against the Red Sox. And James Paxton, all the stuff that he said, and we criticized him for it, and rightfully so, all the stuff that he said leading up to this game about tipping of pitches and confidence issues, and he's going to be nervous going into this, and maybe the pressure of being a Yankee was more than he expected it to be. All of that stuff, sports psychologists, he came out and he was borderline perfect last night for the Yankees when they needed him most. And then you get offense from unlikely guys like Mike Tauchman. You get Clint Frazier breaking out of a slump with a home run. Hey, that was just a perfect night for the Yankees. They needed that, and now it's got to be sustained. We looked at the schedule a lot and said, look at all these bad teams that you have. If you can beat the Red Sox twice and then go into this weekend with a 4-game series against a bad Royals team and actually beat up on one of these bad teams, you'll look up after these six games and feel pretty good about where the Yankees are, even with more injuries, as we find out that Greg Bird goes to the injured list as well, but it's not like he was making much of an impact anyway.
Hey, you know, I was reading that that was Talkman's first home run.
Yeah,
Nobody even knew it. Nobody even knows who the guy is.
Have you heard the John Sterling call yet? I'm sure Jerry will have it. I won't spoil it for him.
No, I did not hear it.
You don't even know what he said.
No, I'm trying to figure out what rhymes with Talkman.
Yeah, see, I thought he was going to go with the, like, talk of the town, or that's what you're talking about, like that type of thing.
Yes.
He did not go that route.
A Bachman-Turner overdrive.
No, no. Someone suggested that last night as well on Twitter.
Taking care of business, that kind of thing?
Yeah, no, it's something that doesn't make much sense.
Okay.
He rhymes Talkman with something, and it seems like he was unprepared, and then he hits the home run, and he came up with something on the fly.
I think everybody was unprepared. You know, nobody more unprepared than the New York Mets, though. Mm. Oh, my God. I mean.
So, you know, I was actually happy that the game went the way it did. Because,
why? Because you could just turn it off?
Right, exactly. You got three things to watch last night. You got Yankees, Red Sox, you got the Islanders and the Penguins, you got the Mets. The Mets conveniently got out of the way for me. It's like, hey, game's over in the first inning. It's 10-0. You don't got to watch us for the rest of the night. You can focus on the other stuff. Thank you. As opposed to like a 2-2 game that goes into 13 innings and I'm sitting there and I'm trying to concentrate on everything else. They just got out. They bowed out. They know there's a lot of Mets and Islander fans together. They bowed out for the Islander fan last night so they could focus on their game. That's what Steven Matz did. He's a Long Island guy.
Yeah,
he said, I'm just going to blow up tonight. It's a long season, long baseball season. The Stanley Cup playoffs are more important. So here's a bunch of meatballs, and we're going to lay down tonight, and then we'll come back tomorrow.
Well, you know, he didn't get any help from the guys behind him either, though.
Well, yeah.
That was also ugly. It's like that whole team didn't come prepared to play.
Right. You're talking about the shortstop that Al Dukes referred to as Rosario Dawson this morning on the warm-up show.
Exactly. Who is Rosario Dawson, by the way, Al?
She's an actress.
She's the actress who's dating Cory Booker right now. And I don't know why when I hear Rosario, that was the first
name she came up with. She's dating Spartacus. Yeah. Oh, Jesus.
So, yeah.
The interesting thing, though, for Steven Matz, it's serious.
Well, he was really good leading up to this, and this was as bad as it gets. So, I mean, this is one of those instances where do you look at it and say, wow, that was so bad, and the history of Steven Matz up and down shows you that this could lead into something more, or do you say, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt because this was just an aberration so far this season, and it was so bad he didn't record an out, eight runs, everything else.
I'll give him the benefit of the doubt if he comes back his next outing.
Sure.
And gives a solid outing.
I think you have to.
I mean, watching him last night on the mound, it was painful.
Yeah, it was terrible.
You could see him hanging his head. You could see the body language. You could see that curveball coming right over the plate. And it's almost, you know, maybe he's tipping pitches.
Well, I don't even think
what is this whole thing about tipping? I've never heard so much discussion about tipping pitchers. Now, I know it goes back to last year with Severino.
Yep.
And now, all of a sudden, you know, A-Rod brings it up in regards to, you know,
Jacob DeGrom.
Jacob DeGrom. Now, I don't know if Jessica Mendoza told him that, and then maybe he said that, because, you know, she's a consultant for the Mets.
She is indeed a consultant for the Mets.
I didn't know if you knew that.
I've heard that. Brody hired Jessica Mendoza because Jessica Mendoza and Brody's wife are very close. That's why, I believe. But anyway, on top of that, I think that it's a convenient excuse for pitchers who struggle, right? Instead of owning the fact that they're bad, to be like, you know what? I think they knew what was coming.
Well,
It's true. Maybe sometimes it isn't. But I mean, you know, if the Yankees have that many problems, like James Paxton said, tipping pitches, Severino said, if that's really happening,
what the hell is Larry Rothschild?
Exactly.
Doing?
He's got to be like the most out of touch pitching coach in the world then, which would scare me too, because you had Sonny Gray on top of that. When Sonny Gray was asked, hey, did you really work with the Yankees when you were struggling? He was like, no, not really. Like, I didn't get any help.
Sliders, and I'm not a big slider guy.
Well, that's a little bit alarming to me if there's multiple tipping pitches guys out there. But hey, the James Paxton thing went away. Severino might have been injured prior to when we found out about his stint on the IL. I don't know. But Steven Matz last night was just bad. I was tipping pitches, knowing if it was coming or not. He was leaving everything over the plate, and they were crushing it in a small ballpark. And when you've seen a ton of offense already. But I know that the starting pitching is bad. I know you brought it up yesterday. You got Mike Vaccaro in the post this morning talking about how the Mets can't afford to have the starting pitching be terrible. We all know that. But I am not going to think that Noah Syndergaard, Steven Matz, Zach Wheeler, Jacob DeGrom, Vargas we know is a tire fire. Forget him. Hopefully he's gone sooner than later. But those four guys I still believe in, and I will still stand by that they will figure it out. This is a stretch right now that hasn't been good. The Mets are still winning more games than they're losing. The offense seems sustainable. I think they're in a good spot despite how pathetic last night looked. And now you got a rubber game later on today. And hopefully if you win that, you totally forget about how bad last night was.
You know, so of course Jeff McNeil's in left field. Yeah. And of course the ball's going to be hit.
Yeah, him. Yeah, I know.
I mean, that guy is making a statement like, guys, I don't belong out here. I mean, it's Murphy-esque out there.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a circus, a little bit of a butcher shop.
He needs to be on third base. He needs to be at third base. He just needs to be. And I know that's probably not the strength of his game, but I think when he's at third base, he's comfortable. He's effective at the plate. Everything's pretty good. And I know that they have to move guys around. I'm not saying that. And, you know, and for a guy like McNeil, he's here because it's the idea that he can play multiple positions, infield and outfield.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
And then, by the way, I will say this in regards to the Yankees and Greg Bird, his plantar fascia tear.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome to the club.
Yes, that's a
welcome
boomer
to the
injury.
Clubs.
Yes.
Go out and get yourself a pair of Hoka 1-1s.
Oh, Hoka 1-1s.
Hoka 1-1s. They are finally the shoe that absolutely is the best shoe out there in regards to any sort of heel pain. Any sort of heel. And I don't get paid to say that. I was up in Lake Placid this weekend,
mm-hmm.
and I went into a running store, and they had this big sign, if your feet hurt, come in, or something like that. So I said, my feet hurt. So yeah. I went in there, and I got introduced to the Hoka 1-1s. They are unbelievable.
You said it was like walking on a cloud.
It is. I mean, it's like walking on a pillow.
Wow. Yeah, so there you go.
They have running shoes. They have hiking shoes. They have everything. And, you know, most running stores, I would imagine, carry the brand. But I guess it's a company that owns Uggs as well. So, I ordered myself like 8 pair.
What, 8?
Yeah, well, because they also got, flip-flops and things of that nature.
Wow,
look,
really
I'm telling you, when I find something that works as effectively as these work,
yeah, you're going
I'm going all in. I'm getting every type. And, you know, Gunnar has a foot problem, too, so I got him some sneakers. I mean, it's great. They are absolutely awesome, awesome sneakers.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.